Morning, brethren and sisters. We will commence our meeting by singing hymn number 226. 226. Lord, when we meet to worship thee, before us let thy glory pass. Proclaim thy mercy, rich and free. In Jesus may we see thy face. Hymn 226. Our next hymn is hymn 204. 204. Fill thou my life, O Lord my God, in every part with praise, that my whole being may proclaim thy being and thy ways. Hymn 204. So it gives me pleasure now to call upon Brother Francis to give us his words of exhortation.
Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. As Brother Duncan mentioned, Sister Sue would have loved to have been here, but her back has let her down. But she sends her love to all of you. Now, this exhortation, the majority of it is not of my creation. It was pulled together from some notes written by a young man in his early 30s, been baptised into the truth by some 10 years. And the early part of what I'm going to say is his reflection on his life outside the truth, something of which I have no experience of at all. He'd spent his early formative years as an altar boy in a church in Annerley, South East London, just up the road. And the last part he spent assisting the organist, pumping the hand bellows for the same church. So he has a breadth of experience that I have not had. And these notes are culled from some jottings that he'd left. And I'm talking about my father, who many of you know. 24 years old when he came into the truth, and these were written some 10 years later. And I've always found them quite helpful to give me a contrast of which I've not been aware of. So this is what he has to say and I have to say by adding some words later on. If, brethren and sisters, we were here to do some real physical thing, or to go through a set of precise rituals, then what we're doing here together would be quite an easy thing. But also, it would be completely unprofitable. Religions around us have, without any authority, evolved a set of rituals for almost all of their services, even when the congregation is sometimes involved physically. They know the movement of the priests, the choir boys, the sundry services to watch out for. The movements are familiar, and they vary very little Sunday by Sunday. There's always the possibility that something different will arouse their attention, a slip or a departure from the customary. At the communion service, as a youngster, we remember it well in the Church of England. It is still more ritualised even today in 2014. It's moved much nearer to the Roman way of serving in the church than the Reformation. But nevertheless, the moves are familiar. One had a certain sense of belonging, for one knew what the moves were. The priest entered, passed down the aisle, followed by the choir and the cross bearers, down the aisle, sometimes around the church on a saint's day. The movements, the prayers, the movement to the altar, the pulpit, the reading lectern, the genuflection in front of the altar, and the wafers and the wine. Mingled with the set prayers, only interest being aroused if an unusual choice was made. Not that the prayer itself would be unusual, they're all set out. 3 dozen or more of them form the communion service. But one would be interested to see which number was chosen. But the wording of them would be familiar to the regular churchgoer. It's all rather stately and irreverent ballet. Familiar movements, always in the same sequence. Or, if there was a variation, it would be a prescribed one on a special high day or holy day. There would not be any novel innovation of the person's own designing. For the regular churchgoer, what did it all mean? What effect did it have on their mind, my mind? Very little, as I recall. One felt at home during it. It was the expected thing. One felt somewhat more virtuous after it than before. But rather, as the Pharisees felt more virtuous than the sinner, with even less cause. It had no impact. It engaged one's thoughts as much as children chanting their alphabet or their nursery rhymes. The stock phrases, the pacific prayers, true in excellent English, in the Archbishop Cramer's English. For the prayer book is a gem of the English language. But what comes out of these thoughts? Perhaps at first hearing, especially for me, I think, thank goodness I've been delivered from all that, or some similar emotion. Or in my case, I've always been involved with the Christadelphians through the Sunday school and through baptism. And I'm thankful that the one or two funeral services, Church of England services I've been for friends and neighbours, I've not been involved just as a witness, and I've not been privy to the ritual and mumbo jumbo that's involved with such services. But what of our far different service here together this morning? Yes, there is a regular pattern and order that we follow. Not as regular or as fixed as the churches around us, but nevertheless familiar enough, as Brother Duncan said, to become too familiar in his prayer, to lose its impact, something we have to take care of. So what's the remedy for this familiarity? Do we chop and change the order of our meeting every Sunday? No, because that just leads to distraction, wondering what new, what else is going to come. Destroys our sense of concentration. It's all too easy to chase the outward appearance, and we lose the heart of the matter. But the heart of the matter is really for our own individual limitations. Our own tendency to be lulled into familiar circumstances. As we sang those songs together this morning, did we really take in the meaning of what we were singing about? All of the hymns we have can be culled, all the hymns we have are culled from scripture and scriptural influences. We follow our presiding brother in his opening prayer, a prayer given on all of our behalves, a collective prayer that we said amen to, so be it. It's easy to let one's attention wander. We read an example in Mark's Gospel record just the other day, in those last dark moments of our Lord and Master's human life. He went off to pray, and his disciples fell asleep. So we have a difficult thing to accomplish together this morning. The breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine. To our full profit and pleasure to our Heavenly Father. We have to keep our minds on what we're doing together this morning all of the time. It's the fact that remembering our brother acceptably is not just a physical ritual thing. It's a mental thing as well, isn't it, brethren and sisters? Now, you're sitting next to fellow brethren and sisters, and none of us know what we're thinking, do we? Whether you're listening or whether you're daydreaming. We can maintain that fixed expression on our face and not really know what the other is thinking. Now, we're met here by command to remember our Lord in the bread and wine. I'd like to think about that word, remembrance, because it's a very broad thing. It's translated over 25 times differently in the scriptures that we hold so close to our hearts. If I went through all 25 references, that would become a long Bible class, and that's not the point of why we're here together this morning. But I'd like to look at just one or two examples of the different things that remembrance encompasses. By and large, the remembrance references are just that. 158 times, it's the Hebrew and Greek words are translated remember. Another aspect is also is to make mention. That's part of remembrance. That's a different aspect, isn't it? To make mention of something. It means you have to talk about it out loud, not just think about it. And hopefully that's what we're doing together this morning. We've come here to remember, to make mention of the life-saving work represented by those emblems under the cloth. We do it Sunday by Sunday, Wednesday by Wednesday, collectively or individually with our readings. We talk about and think about what we've read, especially when we're in the company of fellow believers. So we do make mention. Another thought of remembrance is to imprint. That implies impact, engraving in metal or carving in stone. It's not a hazy outline, it's clear and precise. It's not half remembered or the other side half forgotten. If the chef makes pastry for a pie, he imprints a design on the pastry before it goes in the oven, and then it's baked and becomes brittle. That imprint is permanent until the pie is served, and then it's crumbled. Manufacturers on the goods that they make will imprint a reference number on whatever it be, a car or a chassis, or a piece of hi-fi. And if it's stolen, what do the thieves do? They endeavour to remove the traces of the reference number. If it's recovered, forensic scientists can recover the imprinted serial number by means of acid. So it's still there under the surface, imprinted on our minds and on our hearts. It can't be removed, despite us trying to file it off at times, if our faith grows weak. One other and final thought about remember. It's translated also just once as burn, as to burn incense in remembering. We know that special incense that was only allowed to be compounded for worship in the tabernacle, which we've read of its construction together with Brother Roy this morning. It was special. It was not to be used for anything else. And when it was lit, it slowly burnt, and the smell went up as thanksgiving and prompted remembrance by those who smelt its smell. Carefully compounded ingredients. We have read them in this book that led us to the baptismal and rising anew. One other thing about remembrance, we're told to keep in remembrance. some things we keep in remembrance quite easily, don't we? Some, with time and distance, remembrance comes blurred. A series of happy holidays become mixed up as just one happy holiday. We can't quite put a precise date to what year we went somewhere, but nevertheless, we do have a remembrance of it. But how do we keep this special remembrance clear, precise, imprinted, make mention of together? Well, let's think of it as a series of business filing. We conduct our business, we have a record of it, and in time that record is no longer needed, so we put it into the archives. The more things that we conduct, we have in the ready-to-do file on our desk, don't we? The current file. These days it's on the iPad or the computer, isn't it? We just have to press a button. And the current file, our remembrance, comes up. How is it for you and I? Is it right there on the table? It is this morning, there. Or is it put away in the archive until next Sunday and then got out again? So that's just a few ideas about remembrance. In our Lord and Master's encounters with the Pharisees and Sadducees and those that were against him, he used the example of ritual quite a few times. Yes, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to hear him and to listen to him. But for their purpose, they wanted to collect evidence against him. They didn't come to give him an unbiased hearing. And there's warning in their attitude for us together this morning. They came with preconceived ideas and convictions. Convictions that Jesus was a heretic and a blasphemer, and they wanted to do away with him. How is it with us? We have to fairly consider, with an open mind, all the truths we find in this book, without it being clouded by preconceived ideas. The mind of the little child, Jesus recommends to us, to consider every truth in its own merits and its own scriptural light. Yes, we're told to examine it through a magnifying glass to make sure Scripture agrees with Scripture. And I'm sure all in this room are completely convinced that that is true. If we go through life with these preconceived ideas, we will come to grief. So, ritual, yes, we need order in our lives, because without it we just drift, don't we? We do have a ritual as much as we can, to read a daily portion, three daily portions from this book. It's a good ritual, a ritual that keeps things in this book fresh in our minds. We don't just come to the meeting to follow the ritual of the done thing, to be well respected and thought of. Now together we are strong, brothers and sisters, aren't we? We attend the breaking of bread as often as health permits. And if we can't, we break bread quietly at home, which gives us that connection with all our brothers and sisters, as Duncan said in his prayer, whether we know their names or not. And we are privileged to be able to have weekly meetings as well, to refresh and strengthen each other. So how are we doing, brothers and sisters, this morning? Sitting there comfortably, listening to the ritual of me standing up in the morning, talking to you. Well, I hope you are listening to me and it's been helpful to you. We're very shortly to partake of a very familiar ritual, but its impact should be just as bright and sharp today as it has when we first did on our just after our individual baptisms. Because the things we believe and the things that we hold close to our heart are true. The things that we know about the one who we follow and our Creator are true. There's no doubt in our hearts that the rituals we're following together this morning will indeed be profitable to us. So let's quietly now together break bread and drink wine in remembrance of the one who did all things to his Father's will and to his Father's good pleasure, so that together we can partake of these things happily, willingly, without the fog of Church of England, Roman Catholic mumbo jumbo around us, to which I'm glad that I never had to experience it, but I've learnt from those early writings that my father said that he found the truth, and I'm grateful for that. So let's all now partake of these things acceptably.
I think we can appreciate the feeling that Jesus and the disciples must have had when, after partaking of the bread and the wine, they went on to sing a hymn. And we will do likewise. Hymn 262, second verse: "Thy body broke, thy blood outpoured, in bread and wine we see. And thus again with one accord thy death we show, thy love record, until we feast with thee." Hymn 262. We're going to finish with a hymn of praise, hymn 199. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. Come ye who hear, brothers and sisters, draw near. Praise him in glad adoration. Hymn 199.